Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Afternoon and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fox Sports Knoxville, live this afternoon at your Friday home of The Drive, National RX. It's Farragut's neighborhood community pharmacy on a beautiful football Friday in West Knoxville. Guys, we've only got one more of these guaranteed. That's why it's so important to win tomorrow and go ahead and lock in that bowl game, the 15 extra pass practices, the momentum for recruiting. It is absolutely 100% critical. It is critical, Butch.
It's critical.
And this is a big game coming up tomorrow, but a beautiful day. Come on out and see us here. Anybody who comes out this afternoon, I'm going to hook you up with a free coupon for a free burger at Backyard Burgers right up the street here from us on Kingston Pike in Farragut. So shout out to the Farragutians here this afternoon. Come on out to National RX, 11134 Kingston Pike, 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's on Kingston Pike in Farragut, across the street from Farragut High School, where, I guess the Admirals are getting on the bus today. Tough road trip as they go over to Blount County to take on the umpteen time state champion Maryville Red Rebels. A lot of good high school football action in the area.
Got a bigger game than that down the road.
What's that?
The Fighting Irish Knox Catholic are traveling out to take on Beano's Oak Ridge Wildcats.
Ooh.
Russ.
Go to Blankenship Field, get a little Big Ed's pizza while you're at it. Great weather, man.
Great concession stand out there. The Oak Ridge at Blankenship Field.
I don't think I've ever patronized.
You're missing out.
That the only thing I remember, I've done a couple of games there, and the Big Ed's pizza in the press box at halftime,
incredible,
takes it to a new level. And they've got, like, Blankenship Field, such a cool high school football stadium. They've got, like, this old press box, but it's bigger than most press boxes. Most of the press boxes you see in high school stadiums here around here are pretty generic. They're just like a long hallway.
Not out there.
Basically, but they've got it's cool up there. They do it right at Oak Ridge. Great tradition up there. And I got a couple of Alcoa is at Austin East.
Oof.
Be a big one out there. Coalfield, Greenback, Greenville, Anderson County, and Rogers. Central Bobcats play host to Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. Good luck to the Bobcats. Rog, I hope we'll be hearing from you a little bit later this afternoon. But first, let's prepare. Let us discuss our Tennessee Volunteers going for win number 6 tomorrow at Neyland Stadium against a Missouri team that's really hard to figure out, man. I can't tell if these guys are a really good team, a really bad team, or just another entry in the jumbled up mess that is the SEC East. You look at it, they should have won at South Carolina. They should have beaten Kentucky. This should be an 8-2 team coming in here tomorrow. But they lost those games of inches, and they are 6-4 coming in. And I think it's a winnable game. All right, five things I want to see tomorrow at Tennessee. Brandon Orrick, can you guess what number one is on the five things?
This is a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and play a clean game. Oh.
Wrong again, Brandon. Close, though.
Protect the quarterback.
No.
Get after their quarterback.
No. Play a mean game. Not a clean game, a mean game. What did we do last week. What did Jeremy Pruitt say? Why is the reason that we beat Kentucky as badly as we did?
We were more physical.
We were the more physical team. We dominated the game on both sides.
We imposed our will.
Yes. Any other cliches we could throw out there? We manhandled them along the line of scrimmage. Got after it.
Had some want to.
Absolutely. Rolled up our sleeves, got lathered up, and pushed them around in the trenches.
Get mean.
Get mean. Win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Missouri, a sneaky good running team. They average about 200 yards a game. They're just a good, balanced offense, and their running backs have torn us up each of the last two seasons. So that is a point of emphasis for me. Number two, special teams. What does General Nealon say about the kicking game? What do you do to the kicking game, Bear?
No clue, Russ.
You press it. That's what you do.
That's where the breaks are made, Bear.
That's true. That's absolutely true, Brandon. You press the kicking game. Each of the last two games, last 2 weeks, Tennessee has had a huge play, a game-changing play in the kicking game. Marquez Callaway's punt return against Charlotte. The blocked field goal by Shy Tuttle. He blocked it with his face last week against Kentucky. Did you go back and look at that?
No.
I mean, it just went right in his face,
off
man.
His face,
I mean,
mask.
It looked painful. Big game, big play in the kicking game, I think, once again, could turn this in Tennessee's favor. We talk so much about the defense being the strength of the team and Pruitt's emphasis. Our kicking game, I thought, has been really good this year. I think our special teams play has been really darn good. Number three, I want to see red zone efficiency. We got to score touchdowns when we get down there. And this stat caught me way off guard. We got to stop them from scoring touchdowns. We're 115th in the country in allowing touchdowns in the red zone. That ain't good.
Really?
We got to make them kick field goals in the red zone. Can't give up touchdowns because I think it's going to be a close game. Number four, fourth quarter playmaking. I've talked about this several times this week. We haven't seen Tennessee really be forced to come up with game-changing plays. Well, we have, and that we weren't able to do it against South Carolina. And the other thing people want to talk about is, like, you know, Auburn, we're kind of falling apart there towards the end. And, like, the clock ran out on them, which is good, and I'll take it. But, you know, we didn't score much in the fourth quarter, and we allowed them to go right down the field on us.
We were holding on for dear life.
Clinging to the lead there at the end of that game. So, can we make plays? I know last week we fumbled the ball back and forth with Kentucky, just an ugly fourth quarter for both teams. So I think we're going to have to make game-winning plays in the fourth quarter, something we haven't seen this team do under Jeremy Pruitt. And number five, finally, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to see tomorrow, I call it the Dooley effect.
What an idiot.
Derek Dooley making his return to Neyland Stadium, to Knoxville. Whenever he was on the sideline for us, it was like an albatross around our necks. You ever read that story, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, Coleridge? Brandon?
No.
No? Okay. No. It was like a bad luck totem that we had to carry around with us. I want that to still be the case, man. Please, Derek Dooley, bring some of that idiotic luck that you had with you and keep it on Missouri's sideline tomorrow, please. Those are the five things. Play a mean game, special teams, press them, red zone efficiency, fourth quarter playmaking, and the Dooley effect. Bear, Brandon, did I miss anything?
No.
Of course I didn't.
Play a clean
perfect
game.
As always.
Yeah, I would throw in play a clean game.
Oh, I should have thought of that.
Get lined up right.
Get lined up right.
That would help.
Our five things got pretty basic about midway through the season. Get lined up right.
Wear the proper equipment.
Tie your shoes.
No wardrobe malfunctions.
Don't punch people in the face, Alante.
Well-executed coin toss would be nice. I prefer tails. I was listening to a podcast this week about the coin toss, and there are some physics guys who have, like, figured out how to slightly change the odds of the coin toss in their favor, determining, like, depending on wind and like the ridges. Anyway, stupid. I don't want to get down that road, but
50-50.
That's what they want you to think.
It is.
That's what they want you to think, Bayer. Nothing's 50-50 in this world. Maybe 51-49. All right, go ahead. Senior day at Neyland Stadium. We've got.
Can you believe it's senior day?
It's the last home game of the season. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Yeah, senior but day. I mean, it seems like we blinked. 10 minutes ago, we were doing what you're talking about, and it was 140 degrees outside. I'm just saying the season's gone by in the blink of an eye.
Always does, my friend. Always does.
Go ahead, Russ.
Which senior will we miss the most? Which seniors will you look back and say, you know what, that guy had a good career? What are some of the takeaways, the legacy of this senior class, if you will?
What could have been?
Yeah.
Had they had proper coaching? What could have been if they weren't half their career here wasn't ruined by a cheap shot? I'm looking at you, Poblano.
For me, it's like there's only 13 of them. You know, it's not a lot of seniors, and some of those guys, you know, Jesse Medford, the snapper, DJ Henderson, Malik Ellion, Dylan Bates, those guys don't play much. Keller Crist hasn't played much, and London has been a minimal factor at best. Mm-hmm. So really, like Tuttle, Kyle Phillips, Lexus Johnson, I'll go ahead and throw Ty Kelly Jr. in there because of his past contributions, Abernathy, Kongbo.
Abernathy.
Maybe Paul Bain a little bit. I mean, that's seven guys.
Yeah.
And really, for this year, you can take TK out of there. So really, that's six guys, six seniors that have made any sort of contribution this year. On the one hand, it's like, oh, my God, like, I guess that's what you get when you go through a coaching change and all the defections we had from that class. But it's also, I think, kind of a positive. If you're looking for a silver lining, is like we were really – a young team this year, inexperienced. We're going to have a lot more. I think I did the math. We're going to have around 20 seniors, 20-plus seniors, I think, next year, including a good number who are expected to play key roles. So I just think it's interesting. You know, Tuttle, five-star, all the hype around him coming out. We all know his story with the injuries.
Same
thing with Kyle Phillips. Injuries, five-star hype. And for those guys, they might not have ever lived up to the dominant billing, but, man, they play good football this year. They've been solid SEC players for us, man. We would be up the creek without a paddle, without those two. And I'll throw absolutely. Alexis Johnson in there as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Your thoughts?
So Alexis doesn't have another year?
No, he's done. Which senior will you miss the most? What are your thoughts on this senior class? Got a couple of other things we're going to get into. The recruiting momentum continues to surge for the Volunteers. We've got your Rocky Top report, a lot to get to here this afternoon. Go ahead and jump in if you want. 865-546-8200, 546-8200, your number to get on board. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Rocky Top report next here on The Drive.
The Drive. Now, back to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group and the mortgage pro Chris Burleson and Tennessee back out on the practice field. Going through their walkthrough today, getting ready for Missouri. Kickoff tomorrow at Neyland Stadium is 3:30. CBS has the telecast. Yes, Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson will be in the booth once again. And Gary. Why do you have to be so sarcastic, man? I used to like Gary Danielson, man. I did.
Really?
Yeah,
I hate his guts.
I used to like him.
I can't really stand it.
I did.
He's horrible. He doesn't believe in the Big Mo.
Yeah, I mean that's obnoxious.
He's been the bane of our existence since he joined the network.
Well, I don't hold that against him. Here's the thing. I think so many Tennessee fans, part of the reason they hate him, he's against momentum, and he says snarky,
stupid
stuff, everything.
We associate him with the 3:30 beatdowns.
Exactly. Yeah. Whenever we've been playing in that CBS 3:30 game, generally that means we're losing. Sometimes in horrible fashion.
He's smarmy. He's snarky. He talks down to us. He's one step above Tim Brando in my book.
Tennessee will say goodbye to 13 seniors tomorrow. We talked about Shy Tuttle, Kyle Phillips, Alexis Johnson, Todd Kelly Jr., Micah Abernathy, Jonathan Kongbo, Madre London, we hardly knew ye, Keller Crist. It was nice seeing you out there. You had that moment against Alabama. That was, well, we'll always remember you, Keller Crist. Paul Bain, great story there. The kid who was working at Champs in the mall, worked his way into a scholarship this year. Dylan Bates, oh, that one didn't pan out, to quote Rooster Cogburn from True Grit. Malik Elian, oh, he had his moment. Was it LSU last year where he got in there and ran a little end around and everybody's like, who's that guy? and that was it for him. DJ Henderson, another junior college guy who just never really made an impact. And long snapper Jesse Medford, I'm more bummed out about, senior day isn't bummed out. I mean, you miss some of these guys. Wish you could have some of them back next year. But Juwan Jennings, a lot of speculation of that this might be his last appearance in Neyland Stadium. Hopefully not. Hopefully we get the dog back for one more year. That is your Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by the Craigner Group. If you are getting set to move, you need a realtor, call our guy Bo Craigner at the Craigner Group, East Tennessee real estate professional. Great job getting folks set up in new homes, getting folks sold of their old homes. List it, sell it, move on with the Craigner Group. Call Bo today to set up your free consultation at 865-742-1035. If you're thinking about moving early next year, maybe in the summer, keep Bo's name in mind. And remember, BoKnowsHouses.com. Tell them the Drive sent you. You find your new place, you're going to need a mortgage. That's where the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson, comes in. Chris has been doing mortgages here in Knoxville for about 15 years now, and that's why he's the mortgage pro. Great experience with Chris. Call 865-388-7634. That's 388-7634. Or just go online to BurlesonMortgageTeam.com. That is the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson. And we'll go ahead and make this your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question about the scene. You know, we could take this a number of different ways. Okay, first of all, like which senior will you miss the most personally? And let me ask you this, because I always like, if you could choose one player, one senior to bring back next year, you get a fifth year or a sixth year, whatever it is, for one guy, who are you taking?
Kyle Phillips.
I would take Tuttle.
It's a toss-up between those two.
Yeah, it'd be one of the defensive linemen.
Just Alexis because Johnson has been just as productive as any of those guys this year.
Yeah, it'd be one of the linemen just because
soft spot for Shy Tuttle here.
You lose all those guys. You're bringing a whole new defensive line next year. So if I could bring one back, it'd be one of the defensive linemen.
It sounds like Emmett Gooden is pretty much the only thing that we have as far. Would you consider him proven?
Yeah, he's. Emma's played a lot of football this fall.
He's going to be the anchor.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be the anchor next year, and we're going to have to keep him healthy the way we've kept these three
healthy. I've seen this year and then watching that show with him last year, I mean, he flashes. They've got to get it out of him more than they are. He's going to have to flash a lot more and just start doing it.
I think it'll be a huge offseason for him to kind of take the next step as far as his conditioning is concerned, get into elite physical condition to where
he's
can play a whole game.
He's got the frame for it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be good for him. Mincy, I think, is probably going to start. He'll probably take that Kyle Phillips role next year. Yeah, I mean, I think you would have to go defensive lineman just because we're moving so much there. I think other than that, Abernathy is really the only one you could make a legitimate argument for.
He's just such a, he's fast. He's the one that seems to have picked up on Pruitt's defense.
Smart kid, yeah.
Really smart, able to understand the concepts.
He might get beat, might take a bad angle from time to time, might miss a tackle as he did against West Virginia, but he's generally where he's supposed to be or heading in that direction. He's
quick enough in his head, and he's just everything about him's quick. He can look over the defense and identify if somebody's out of place.
I think we'll miss him next year.
Now we showed this year when he was out.
You know, we got Warrior coming back. We've got Trayvon Flowers. I think we'll start it next to Warrior next year. And then you're bringing in some nice prospects led by Jalen McCullough out of Georgia, who hopefully will be able to hit the ground running and play right away. Theo Jackson has played a little bit here, has come on the past couple of weeks. So got some options there. But, yeah, I will miss Abernathy for sure. I mean, he's a decent player.
Some folks could make the argument for Keller Christ.
What folks are those?
What are you doing?
The people who are clamoring for Keller Christ to start every game. The one
those people are dullards.
The Christians. So is that sacrilegious? By the way, we've got a box for Toys for Tots out here at the Christians. I mean, the Keller Christians. They still want to see
it. It's just a bad joke.
Is it as bad?
It's your dad.
It's pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
We've got a Toys for Tots, but I don't know why that popped in. I guess Christmas Christians. But we've got the Toys for Tots box, and it's already like halfway full out here at National RX. If you want to bring a toy out here.
That's one of my favorite.
Yeah. And
like charitable things to get involved with.
We filled up several of those boxes last year. So we will be back here on Black Friday next week. I don't know if Brandy's going to be here. Bear and I are going to be out here doing a show, Black Friday show. And if you're out there doing a little Black Friday Christmas shopping, grab a toy and swing on by here and throw it in the box at National RX. They certainly appreciate it. You can do that this weekend, anytime next week through. I believe they come by and pick all those up a week or two before Christmas, something like that. So we'll provide more details as we roll along here at National RX. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. Which senior will you miss the most next season? Which one would you prefer to bring back if you could have just one more year for these 13 seniors playing their final game at Neyland Stadium tomorrow? 865-546-8200 is your number. That's 546-8200. The hot question is always brought to you by our friends at Rickard Ridge Barbecue. And I tell you what, man, with the 3:30 kickoff tomorrow would be a fantastic opportunity for you and your family to make the quick drive up I-75 to Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day here in East Tennessee. The sun's going to be out with highs up near 60 degrees. Fantastic day to showcase Neyland Stadium, the university campus, for recruiting tomorrow. And, if you get a chance, get in the car, going up to Rickard Ridge Barbecue, exit 134 inside Cove Lake State Park, and get yourself some of the best ribs, some of the best barbecue in the known universe at Rickard Ridge Barbecue. They're online at rickardridgebbq.com. Be sure to let them know that you heard us talking about it right here on The Drive on Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick break right here. We'll come back with your phone calls. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show. 546-8200. Stay with us. The Drive continues after this.
The Drive. You can...
Drive Fox Sports Knoxville, Russell Barrett Branded, coming to you live today from National RX, your Friday home of The Drive, home of Ananda CBD Rich Oil Products, 10% off. You've heard a lot about CBD oil here the past month or so, the past year or so, and Knoxville's best place to buy CBD oils right here at National RX, their sister store, Volunteer Pharmacy out in Hardin Valley. They do a great job. They buy oil from suppliers that sell only to pharmacies, so you can be assured of the quality of the product that you're getting right here at National RX and Volunteer Pharmacy. Come on by and ask one of the trained pharmacists here to walk you through the benefits of CBD oil. They'd be glad to help you. We're at 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's in Farragut. In smoking hot question this afternoon, which senior will you miss the most? Let's go back to the Fan Run studios and talk to Rick Butler, who's on the board this afternoon, quality control executive producer and analysis. Rick, do you have a senior that you will miss the most off this year's team?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for the analysis title. I feel very good about that. But I'm one of the guys with Alexis Johnson. I feel like he's taken absolute strides this year, and like you guys have been saying, it's going to be tough to lose some of those bigger guys in the defensive line, and so mine would definitely be between him and Shy, but I'm leaning towards Alexis.
You know, people, it's a weird thing because he was a four-star recruit. Anytime you sign a four-star defensive lineman, you're thinking, okay, you know, the expectations are high. He gets here and immediately gets in off-the-field trouble.
Yeah, like within, what, 48 hours?
I don't know if – I mean, I don't remember the exact timeline.
Yeah, it was like – he'd only been here for like 48, 72 hours. Time enough to find a girlfriend and then do something dumb.
Yeah, pretty ugly incident. And, you know, you can – whatever you may think about the decision to stick with him. I mean, he didn't play that first year.
Off-the-field trouble.
It's basically embroiled in a legal
48 hours?
Snafu. And then he came back and played the past 2 years. Last year, he didn't make much of an impact at all. And then this year, he's been a key player. And I don't think that a lot of people expected him to be this good. But I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now. I mean, to me, it's a minor miracle that we've gotten through 10 games now with the same three starting offensive linemen and without really any defensive linemen, without any serious injuries to that position. You know, Kongbo obviously was a big loss. He's technically a linebacker. That's been impressive. Hopefully we can get him through these last two, three games to the finish line. But, yeah, he's been key, and hopefully he learned from his incident. He had a domestic violence incident, in case people don't remember, wonder what we're talking about. Ugly allegation.
When did horseplay gone way wrong?
I don't remember. That seems to ring a bell. Yeah. He messed up probably. And hopefully he learned a valuable lesson, won't mess up again in the future. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show here this afternoon, 546-8200. If you want to chime in today on The Drive, we would love to hear from you. Rick is waiting patiently back in the studio to take your phone calls here this afternoon. Did you see the 16-team college football playoff bracket?
Yes. I just saw it on Twitter.
Pretty cool.
I have not.
Pretty cool.
Who tweeted it out?
I'm looking at this, the Sooner Football Fans podcast, at Sooner FB Fans on Twitter. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't miss an episode of the Sooner Football Fans podcast. So they've got the first round being hosted at the lower seeded game. So you've got Alabama hosting 16 seed Iowa State, Washington State hosting 8 seed Washington State hosting 9 seed West Virginia. The winner would play Alabama.
Very intriguing game. That would be that
a lot,
one would
a lot
be
of
fun.
Offense there. The Pirate against his protege, Dana.
That would be fun.
Dana and the Pirate getting after it.
Then you get the cocktail party again in the other one.
Rematch of and you would get to see Georgia and Florida play in Athens.
Yeah, that would be weird. That would be the when's the last time they've
I think they did it in because Spurrier. I don't remember this game, but Spurrier talks about like I think the year that they were renovating the Gator Bowl, maybe 1994. They played in Athens, and Spurrier went in there and like scored 50 points. They scored like a late touchdown in Athens to beat Georgia, and he was like, "Yeah, I just wanted to throw in there. Nobody had done it before." And Athens decided to go up there and put 50 on them. Winner of that game would play the winner of 4-seed Michigan, 12-seed Syracuse in Ann Arbor in the Rose Bowl. So if the seeding held firm, you would see Georgia versus Michigan in the Rose Bowl. That would be interesting. Other side of the bracket, 2-seed Clemson playing host to 15-seed Texas, 7-seed LSU playing host to 10-seed Ohio State, and the winners would meet up in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. So you could have a battle of the Tigers, LSU, and Clemson in Atlanta. That'd be a fun game.
Boy, Notre Dame's got an easy route to the finals, don't they?
I don't know, because I don't think they're that good. And I think they could lose in that first. If this was real, I think they could lose that first one.
3-seed Notre Dame playing host to 11-seed Central Florida. I agree with you, Brandon. I think Central Florida play with them.
I think either of those other two teams would beat them. I don't think Notre Dame's that good.
6-seed Oklahoma playing host to 14-seed Penn State. I got like the Sooners there. So just assume Notre Dame can scrape by UCF. They would get their brains beat in by Oklahoma. Anybody disagree on that?
No.
And that game would be in the – what is that? The Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
PlayStation Fiesta Bowl.
So that would be the second round. The round of eight would be the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl. The winner of the Peach Bowl game and the Fiesta Bowl game would meet in the Cotton Bowl in the Final Four. And then the winner of the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl would meet in the Orange Bowl. And then you'd have your national championship. I mean, who could possibly be against this? Who could possibly? Oh, it's too much football. It's too much for the kids. Whatever, man. That would be awesome.
It devalues the regular season.
That's the stupidest
argument I've ever heard.
Yeah. NFL regular season seems pretty meaningless, doesn't it?
I think it's only a matter of time. I mean, I don't know. It's not going to go from 4 to 16.
No, they'll go to 4 to 8.
Yeah,
we need to go to 8. 5 conference winners, 3 at large.
What it would do is it would increase the value of those bowl games, because those bowl games are pretty cool, but I guarantee you it's going to be a much more difficult ticket and much more favorable and advantageous to those bowl boards and everything for them to be part of a big playoff. Like that.
I mean, is the Rose Bowl going to play ball? That's kind of been part of the – I mean, they still have the Rose Bowl. We're just doing it out there at the stadium.
They played it on New Year's Eve 1 year, and they've already been like Georgia and Oklahoma playing last year. So, I mean, at this point, what are they
– Yeah, but they still had a Rose Bowl, especially that year you're talking about. Because that was that New Year's that we were all sick. It was that first year I was on the drive. And
who was
that was
in
the year that USC played Penn State in the Rose Bowl.
What was the Rose Bowl last year?
It was Georgia-Oklahoma.
That was the Rose Bowl game, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have two last year like they did the year before?
What was the year before?
Penn State and USC in the Rose Bowl, and then you had...
But it wasn't part of the playoffs that year.
Right.
They've got 6 bowl games, and so... When the Rose Bowl isn't part of the playoffs, they still get their thing. I mean, they would have to let that go, obviously, to be a part of an 8 or 16 team playoff.
Now, I think back when they had when the BCS was still a thing, when it would rotate between the four, they would still have the Rose Bowl game, and then they would play the national championship at the Rose Bowl. I don't think they do that anymore.
Okay.
It's just like last year. It was just Georgia.
I may have gotten confused here.
It was just Georgia.
Sorry, but it happens. Very rarely, but it happens.
You know, if they balk at it, you know, fine. We'll give their
count
game.
You out.
Yeah, we'll give their game to the Independence Bowl. How about that? We'll give their game to the Music City Bowl. We'll give their game to the Bahamas Bowl in honor of John Curry. By the way, do you know what tomorrow is? The anniversary of?
What's the date?
It will be November the – or maybe it's today. I don't know. It might be today, the anniversary. It's either today or tomorrow was a year ago that our John Reed sat in the parking lot at TAC Air.
Him and Cody.
On a stakeout.
Until they got hungry. How do you go on a stakeout and not take food with you?
Isn't that the first rule of a stakeout?
Make sure you got snacks, yeah. Boys.
It's their first steak. It was their first stakeout.
That's true.
Brent Hubbs made an appearance.
Bird crap all over his car.
What?
You never noticed that about that picture?
No, I didn't notice that. I don't see how that's relevant. Why you got a rip on Hubbard's truck?
Well, it's a cool truck. You got to wash it.
I bet you know what he does? I bet he changes the oil in it.
I'd hope so. It's like a $40,000 truck.
Didn't expect this segment to take that turn. But anyway, it is the anniversary of
Oh, I can't. Brent Hubbs is a super nice guy. He's always been really nice to me.
Hype, the height of groomers. A year ago, we are steamrolling into the Missouri game. Did it? The season, the schedule was the same last year, right? We played Missouri and then, or no, we played LSU.
Yeah.
How did
yeah.
the it went Missouri LSU? So we're getting ready for the LSU game. We've just fired Butch. We've got Brady Hoke.
The groomers are raging out of control.
The groomers are out of control. The Juwan Jennings incident is going to happen next week.
Right.
Before the Vanderbilt game.
All hell broke loose.
Do you remember that LSU game last year? The absolute just monsoon. I mean, it was like a mini hurricane.
Well, there was that. But let's back up. Yes.
That was the night the groomers allegedly spotted.
The groomers had died down by that Saturday. They had started to subside a little bit after the airport stakeout and all that.
Was this before or after the Dunwoody celebration?
We had taken a little step back and been like, you know what? It's probably not going to happen. Okay. And then
somebody put up that picture.
There's a picture. It looked like Gruden from behind. It was like the shadowy figure on the grassy knoll.
You all trolled yourself silly last year over that stuff. Trying to tell y'all.
There were people at Calhoun's, well-meaning people, who mistakenly confirmed that he was down there, and that went wild. There were newspaper accounts of it written, like it. That's all anybody cared about the first quarter. And by halftime, they came out and retracted and said, "You know what? One of our managers said he was here. It turns out he wasn't here. Our bad." And that's all anybody was talking about. And then all of a sudden, the monsoon comes at halftime.
Brady Hoke forgets that you can elect to kick again.
Brady Hoke takes the ball in the middle of...
and agrees to play. That was the other part. Remember, the refs asked him. He's like, yeah, we'll play.
The lights went out in the stadium.
Yeah.
Didn't like a huge piece of sheet metal fall off the Jumbotron and almost decapitate someone?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. I remember because I left. Me and my dad went to the game, and I left at halftime. I was walking back to go to voluntary reaction.
And the storm was only over Neyland Stadium. That was the other weird part.
No, it was not, because I got caught up in it. I felt like I was.
I remember that because you came in just soaked to the bone.
I felt like I was one of those news reporters out in a hurricane, just trying to walk through.
Jim Cantore, Brandon Cantore over here.
If you look out the window and see Cantore, you are in trouble.
All right, stay with us. It's The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. Quick timeout. We'll be right back to wrap up hour number one of the show live today. National RX. Stay with us.
The Drive.
The Drive rages on live from National RX on a Football Friday edition of the show. I want to thank everybody who came out to Corner 16 yesterday for the Ogle Elrod and Burrell Turkey Drop, the 7th annual Ogle Elrod and Burrell Turkey Drop.
Had a great blast.
Great time out there. We hung out afterwards, solved all the world's problems at the bar, so don't worry about any of the strife and dilemmas you see in the news. We figured all that out yesterday, took care of it for you, free of charge. It's our way of saying thank you. But we appreciate everybody who came out there yesterday. Had a blast at Corner 16. Big recruiting weekend. Again, we're going to have a ton of visitors in here. And, man.
Any five stars?
Oh, yeah. How lucky did we get last week with the weather and then the win against Kentucky? Let's hope we can duplicate that tomorrow. Looks like the weather's going to cooperate.
Is it going to warm up tomorrow? Is it going to be cold again?
It's going to be up near 60 degrees. I've only said it about four times. I'm sorry. I'm being mean to Bear.
There we go.
Mean to Bear. No, I'm going to stop.
Mark it off on the rundown.
I caught myself. I have said it like seven times this week. I mean, you know, could pay attention.
At least that makes it at least the third time.
Shut up, Brandon.
2019 offensive line commit Chris Okporigony will be here. Our tight end commitment Sean Brown from Georgia will be here. Eric Gray, the running back from Memphis, who I understand Tennessee picked up a couple of crystal balls from 247 today for, will be here, one of the top all-purpose backs in the country. A Michigan commitment who I think Tennessee is going to flip. Wide receiver Ramel Keaton, who's committed from Georgia. The other tight end, Jackson Lowe, will be here. Linebacker Tresman Marshall, who's a Georgia commitment, who Evidently, Tennessee's got some momentum there. I guess we're going to sign a bunch of linebackers again this year.
We need to. Apparently, Georgia's all hot and bothered over Ramel now.
Ramel Keaton?
Yeah.
They think they're going to get him?
I don't know. But that's why that their number one, that five-star wide receiver is all of a sudden interested in UT. I think three and out, we're talking about it early in the week. The whole reason, because they were on their visit at the same time, and the Georgia coaches spent all their time with Ramel Keaton and not with the guy that's committed to
him. We're in a couple of five-star receivers. There's one who's committed to Auburn right now who's looking around. Pickens is that young man's name.
Huh.
And then Hazelwood is the guy who decommitted from Georgia. Wouldn't it be nice to grab one of those guys?
Yeah, and get Keaton. Keaton's the one I really want.
Tresman Marshall is the linebacker. He's committed to Georgia. He's visiting this weekend. It sounds like we have a good chance to flip him. Wanye Morris is going to be here. Outside linebacker, defensive end, Nolan Smith, five-star Georgia commitment, going to be here. That sounds like a long shot. Defensive lineman Trayvon Walker, Georgia commitment, will be here. That sounds like a long shot. Four-star JUCO defensive lineman Savion Williams, who's already committed, will be here. And five-star offensive lineman Darnell Wright is set to make another.
Who's he committed to right now?
Nobody. I think he's leaning towards us.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
We're like the only school that he's visiting, and he's visited us, what, at least three or four times this year? This will be the third or fourth time. So I think we're going to get him. We're going to sign two five-star offensive tackles, man.
You think so?
I mean, I don't want to jinx it or anything, but we've already got Wanye in the fold. And Wright's not gone anywhere else. He's not talking to anybody else.
That's true.
So, I mean, I'm just reading the tea leaves there. I don't have any inside information, just a gut feeling. All right, stay with us. The Drive continues. Hour number two coming up right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive. You could win.